May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I want to begin by naming what's on everyone's minds as we gather here. Today, of course, is the 15th anniversary of the terrorist attacks against the homeland of the United States on September 11, 2001. As you've read in my message on the front of the bulletins, there will be a 9/11 memorial concert this afternoon at Rice University and a 9/11 interfaith service this evening at Christ the King Lutheran Church. While it's only natural for most of us to reflect on our memories of that particular day, I hope we'll remember not only those who died and all of the destruction, but also that powerful urge to be together with other human beings, family, friends, even strangers. In the midst of fear, people moved in the direction of love. Some of them covered in gray ash from the World Trade Center as they walked side by side, hand in hand, across bridges out of Manhattan. People swore to themselves that going forward on spiritually firmer ground, they would only focus on the most important things. And yet the will to do so isn't as strong as we often imagine it to be. Forgetfulness seems to be built into our DNA. So we need the kind of reminders of God's grace in our day-to-day experiences that we find here in the church, the community that has been gathered by Jesus in every generation. What does that community look like? What should it look like? I think those are important questions to ask ourselves on this solemn anniversary if we want to remember not only the stories of death, but also the stories of life from 9/11. I ran across two reflections, and I want to share parts of them with you today because each of them caused me to think about life together in the church, what it is for many and what it has the potential to be for everyone. The first one is entitled Home Again by Dina Dyer, a woman who describes memories of being raised in Texas on a 700-acre ranch and all of the hard work that entailed during the summertime while her friends, some of them at least, quote, sunbathed as lifeguards. So she, just like many of us did somewhere between our childhood and our adulthood, hatched an escape plan. She writes, I can remember telling my parents I couldn't wait to leave the ranch in our small town. I felt confined, stifled, and restless. There was so much more to do and see than tend cattle and watch seedlings grow. When I grow up, I'm going to live in a city apartment and have a window box, I said to my mom more than once. Life's funny, though, and God definitely has a sense of humor. After 15 years of marriage, 2 kids, and 3 cities, my husband and I moved our brood much closer to Hay Creek Ranch, as my parents named it. One of the biggest reasons for our move? We longed to be closer to family. Not only did my mother and father reside on the ranch, but my brother, his wife, and 2 kids live only an hour away. After more than a decade of doing life on our own, 8 to 10 hours drive from the ranch, we realized that something was missing. We want our boys to go to their cousins' birthday parties and invite their grandparents to see them in school plays. Frankly, we also needed a support system. Life's hard, and when troubles invariably arrived, we never felt quite as comfortable asking for help or falling to pieces with our friends, or sadly, our church, as we did with family. This wonderful reflection is a double-edged sword. The author hits the bullseye when she writes about doing life on our own and discovering in the midst of that choice that something's missing. We really do need a support system. It's the way God created us, and it's okay to admit that. What's missing is the kind of life that we're meant to have right here in the community of Jesus, And that's where the honesty of this reflection stings. This family that needed a safe place to be loved and accepted, to be honest about their personal struggles, didn't find it in their church. Too often the church, especially in America, demands that the heartbreaks of life be hidden behind a mask of perfection. It's as though we don't really need Jesus, who is the friend of tax collectors and sinners. It's as though we've become practical atheists with God in the rearview mirror while we're heading down the road of a victorious life. Eventually, however, we burn too much rubber off the tires and find ourselves in the ditch. And that's where Jesus finds us again and gives us a ride back home. And there, at home, Jesus throws a party for us with all sorts of unlikely, even unseemly guests. The good news is that it isn't a masquerade party. And that's what the church ought to be like. A spiritual home not for perfect people, but for redeemed people, where no masks are required in order to be loved and accepted and invited to this table. The second essay that caught my attention is called Getting Back Home Is Not That Simple. It was written by Margie Hack, a woman who lives in Minnesota, and sadly, it turned out to be impossible for her to end up in the same place that Dina Dyer ended up. She says, "When I finally began admitting that journeys back home didn't reveal it as a place where both parents welcomed me, a place to stand soul naked yet loved, I was nearly wrecked by the revelation. Until my 30s, I steadfastly refused to acknowledge this trouble. Even then, I couldn't sort it out alone and have others to thank for chipping away my pretense. My mother, my husband, and even my 8-year-old daughter, who once delivered such an insightful observation that it first made me angry, then tearful. We were in the car on the 8-hour drive back to Rochester when she leaned over the back seat and asked, 'How come Grandpa doesn't like us?'" Some of this is another story, she writes, but the gift, I use the word purposely, of this life experience was the desire to make our own home a resting place and solace for people passing through, rather like the inn, by the way, that gave Christian, John Bunyan's famous pilgrim, enough hope and rest to continue his journey toward the celestial city. "I don't think I've ever met anyone who didn't want to go home," she says, "at least eventually. I mean home, home. Although pilgrimage can include many things like the awe of discovery, often it reflects that deepest of human desires, finding or going back to a place where we are nourished and healed. A place where we take up courage and start becoming the person God intended us to be. So often, so sadly, that is not the home where we grew up. However far off it seems," she says, "the day will come when all that has been torn and wrenched will be restitched, regenerated, washed to beauty by Christ. In the next life, I think I'll journey to the Gulf Coast, to lost coral reefs, to the remade mountaintops of the Appalachians. And I think my stepdad will bless me in a way he never could in this life." The hope of being truly home, she says, keeps me walking, walking, ever fending off temptations to get off the trail. When I read those words, I thought about all of the people on 9/11 walking across those bridges out of Manhattan. Covered in gray ash, they all looked the same. If only for a moment there were no distinctions by class or income or education. They were just human beings created in the image of God who wanted to go home. Margie Hack, writing about the unrehearsed stories she now hears from guests in her small house in Minnesota, says, "It still surprises me how often pilgrims cry in a safe place." Many of the people sitting around you this morning have found this to be a safe place to share those kinds of stories and to walk together side by side, hand in hand, down this aisle to receive strength for the journey in Holy Communion. Sometimes God creates a way where there is no way. Sometimes God provides a family, a network of supportive and loving relationships for those who have no family, and calls it a church. Sometimes God surprises us with an invitation to pass the peace with tax collectors and sinners, and to share a meal with them at this table. Sometimes, no, always, God finds us and loves us when we most need it and least expect it. For those who least expect it this morning, let us pray. O God, make the door of this house wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship and a heavenly Father's care, and narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and hate. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block for children, nor to straying feet, but rugged enough to turn back the tempter's power. Make it a gateway to your eternal kingdom. We ask this for the sake of Jesus, who has found us and brought us home today. Amen.